It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 4th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. When was the last time you bought something at Walmart.com? Yeah, that's what I thought. The Wall Street Journal is reporting this week that Walmart is in talks to buy upstart online retailer Jet.com for as much as $3 billion. Why? Well, when was the last time you bought something at Amazon? If your answer is today, 5 minutes ago, well, therein lies the rub. Poonam Goyal is a retail analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence. Poonam, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you.
So what is Walmart getting out of buying Jet.com? Maybe.
Maybe. It's a big maybe. So let me just step back a minute. Walmart in the past has always said that they're more willing to build than buy. So them buying Jet.com would be a reversal in what their strategy, at least in the U.S., has been. What they gain from it is customers, right? So if you think of Walmart.com...
I almost never think about Walmart.com.
You don't, and that's the problem. But do you think of Jet.com?
I do.
Do you think of Amazon.com? So that's what they want. They want the visibility. They want you to come to their website. So to make that conversion more seamless, Jet.com can help them. It can help bridge the gap between them currently and Amazon.
So assuming that this kind of bolt-on thing happens where Walmart does buy Jet.com, what percentage of an Amazon does that make?
Very small still. For example, last year on Cyber Monday, which was Jet.com's biggest selling day in terms of sales, they did about $2.7 million in daily sales last year on Cyber Monday. That is a fraction, a very small fraction of what Amazon's daily sales would look like. So I don't think it's the sales that would attract Walmart to Jet.com. It's the customer base.
Walmart has obviously been trying to gain a foothold in the e-commerce space. So what's really happening here?
I think if this deal is true, it would kind of say that Walmart, all the talent that they've been hiring, was that enough? They've hired so many people in Silicon Valley to help build their e-commerce business, then why can't they get customers like Jet.com did?
Poonam Goyal is a retail analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence. Poonam, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you very much.
By the way, we reached out to Walmart about this story. Company response, no comment. A report out this week says that more and more people are buying goods without one of the most basic ingredients of traditional commerce, a bank account. People who are traditionally unbanked or underbanked, as it's called, haven't had a lot of options for engaging in the economy, digital or otherwise. But new tools are changing that. The report comes from the Demand Institute. The president of the Demand Institute was here in New York, so we met up with her right around the corner from the United Nations. I asked Louise Keeley to start by giving me the numbers.
So the top line numbers are 2 billion underbanked consumers globally, maybe up to a quarter of American adults.
So say I'm in Hong Kong and I'm unbanked.
Yeah.
What are my options? What can I do?
So in Hong Kong, there's a really interesting product called the Octopus Card.
Okay.
And the Octopus Card was originally started as what's called a closed-looped system for transit. So if you were going to take the subway in Hong Kong, you'd go to the subway station, give them cash, they give you your Octopus Card, which is, you know, will look like a hard one that you can reuse, and you would use it on the subway. Well, then they thought, okay, you know, why not make this an open-loop system? Why not let retailers and others use it for all types of exchange? So today, almost every adult in Hong Kong has an Octopus Card and uses it.
Huh.
And you can use it at little mom-and-pop shops. You can use it at, you know, big online retailers, as well as at the transit system. So it's a way that you can, you don't have to have a bank account to use it, and everyone does.
How do people spend differently when they have this kind of option?
We project that because of the growth in cashless payments, there will be about $10 trillion more spending over the next decade globally.
That's a lot.
It is. It's almost as much as Americans spend in a year. And American consumer economy is the biggest in the world. So it is a lot of money. And it's, you know, a combination of people having access to new goods and services they didn't have before, and also more choices.
So do we think that this growth in unbanked consumers here and around the world is like is a good thing?
Not necessarily. The space is in a period of disruption right now. There's a lot of change. There are a lot of players. And one of the things the report talks about and helps to organize is who are the players and what are the roles that they're playing. And in the near term, are there good there are other options for consumers? Yes. Do eventually we want to have an environment where things are kind of more stable and regulated? And so it's a space that's going to really change a lot, and it's a place where companies, whether they're in emerging markets or not, should be watching and what they could potentially even use and adapt here in the U.S.
Louise Keeley is one of the authors of the Demand Institute report looking at mobile payments. Louise, thanks.
Thank you.
Earlier this week, Dr. Seymour Papert died at the age of 88. Papert was a mathematician and educational theorist. He was the creator of a programming language called Logo and a robot turtle that, along with the language, could help kids learn. This from an old TV clip on YouTube.
A computer-controlled turtle is made to draw and dance by programs so simple that all children invent them in the first days of the course. Thus, the child acquires a taste for math power.
Math power. Great phrase. Papert was also the co-director of the Artificial Intelligence Laboratory at MIT. His legacy, though, might be his belief that the computer could give children a far more active role in their own education. Also, that computers and rational thinking were key ingredients to a successful society.
I feel very deeply committed to the idea that although rationality isn't everything, and passion and interests and faith of various sorts count as much, nevertheless, rationality is a force for the good. And the more people are capable of rational critical thinking, the better the world will be.
Audio there from the One Laptop Per Child Foundation. We have put more information about Seymour Papert at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM.